Welcome. You're listening to Talk About Healthy Living. I am so pleased to have you join me today. How do you deal with horrific events? Last week in the small town of Uvalde, Texas, we were rocked to our core by the senseless shooting at Robb Elementary School. 19 lives of young children were lost, along with two adults, violently ended. The shocking tragedy sent tidal waves of emotions through every American and especially every parent. How do you deal? In this episode, I'm going to share tried and true methods to cope with those feelings of fear, worry, and sadness, as well as a way to transform them and yourself in the process so your angst is lessened and you feel empowered. I'm Peggy Cialfan, a personal development coach. I'm trained in Eastern and Western traditions, so I blend ancient wisdom with modern science and technologies. Look, we all need better coping skills to navigate through these times of enormous challenges. Add the economic and political woes, recovering from the pandemic, wars, personal painful events like illnesses or losing a loved one. Well, we would all benefit in establishing a rootedness to our inner source that guides us and strengthens our resilience to changing times. So, first of all, start by giving yourself permission to cry, rage, express your feelings. Don't stuff down your emotions. Let them out. Talk to a friend. Write them in a journal. Scream at your pillow. Or move your body, gyrating and spinning to free those energies, those tensions. Release them. It's quite normal to experience a wide range of emotions, thoughts, and reactions. And for many who have gone through past traumas, including deaths and violence, last week's horror may well have triggered awful memories and brought symptoms flooding back into your mind and body. And if you're extremely sensitive and empath and you feel everything, you may actually have symptoms even if you're not directly involved in any crisis. Your nature is to feel the pains of others. So look, there's a natural process we all go through, a series of reactions that can occur for a few days or even weeks or months. You might find yourself in denial and shock at first, or confused, moody, anxious, panicky, guilty, helpless, sad, depressed, angry. Lots of emotions emerge. Physically, you might feel fatigued, nauseous, maybe have headaches, or you just can't concentrate or sleep. These are not uncommon. Just know that with time, they will pass. You are not broken, and these are not abnormal. But what can you do right now to speed the process even a little, to make things a little more comfortable for yourself? Well, here are my five suggestions. Number one, limit your exposure to the news. I know that sounds like a no-brainer, but there's a tendency to get addicted and to watch the same information being reported again and again and again. This just deepens your traumatic reactions. So give yourself a break. Stop watching cold turkey for a couple of days. Go outside and take walks instead. You don't need to know every gory detail. And you need to focus your attention more on the present moment and what you're doing to take care of yourself. So that brings me to number two, increase your commitment to self-care. It was interesting. One of the pieces of advice I heard shared by Fred Gutenberg, who's a parent who lost his 14-year-old daughter, Jamie, in the Parkland school shooting. He said, remember to eat. Trauma can affect you in so many ways. When you feel overwhelmed with grief and worry, your senses are dulled, so you no longer feel if you're hungry or thirsty or tired. And yet, for you to activate coping skills, you need to be functioning and keep your body strong. Eating healthy, nutritious foods and staying hydrated is so important. So perhaps you can enlist the support of family or friends to help be your reminders, or maybe they can even bring over meals to keep you nourished. Also, limit your use of caffeine, nicotine, and sugar. Try not to numb your feelings with alcohol or drugs. Do things that feel good to you. Take baths, read, listen to great music, watch television, spend time with friends and family, or whatever else feels nurturing and self-caring. Go get a massage or give yourself a massage. Massage your feet. Luxuriate in that feeling. Or get out and do some gardening. Or maybe create a new recipe that's fun and delicious. Number three fits right in with that self-care notion. Number three is to get some regular exercise. There was a study that was done of adults with post-traumatic stress disorder. And they were given a 12-week exercise program that included three 30-minute resistance training sessions every week, along with walking. And it was found to lead to significant decrease in PTSD symptoms of depression. It actually improved sleep quality. So choose exercise that will give you the most enjoyment and that you can do consistently, whether it's strength training in the gym or getting out for a run or a walk, bike riding, doing some team sports, even yoga, Pilates, or Tai Chi. They all provide benefit for your mental health. In fact, in last week's episode, I even covered exercises that you can do in just 15 minutes. So I'll post that in the show notes. Number four, be empowered. Well, how do you do that? Let this incident, this horror, motivate you to get active. Choose to do something, to make a difference in your own family or your own community. Doing something positive helps banish that feeling of hopelessness and restores a sense of power over the situation. Perhaps you're suited for political action or community service, or donate to a cause, or just do random acts of kindness. They feel really good. Or most importantly, pay attention to the people around you and do what you can to make their lives a little easier. Make sure the people in your circle feel loved and cared for. That certainly helps prevent the potential outbreak of these types of events. Number five, as I mentioned at the beginning, you can give yourself permission to express your feelings. But you also need to give yourself permission to take a time out from worrying and being consumed by emotions of fear. My biggest recommendation is to learn to meditate, even if only for 2 minutes, 5 minutes at a time. Just taking time to quiet your mind and be free of negative thoughts frees your mind and relaxes your body. I have an episode on how to meditate, so I'll put that in the show notes as well. And I'll include a few meditation recordings. A couple of other techniques that kind of goes with meditation is to just focus on your breath. Deepen your inhalations and exhalations and make each exhalation just a little bit longer than each inhalation. This helps activate the relaxation response and calms your nervous system. You could also hum as you inhale and exhale, which also engages your vagus nerve, and that also helps to quiet your nervous system. With many of my clients, I recommend that they actually allocate worry time to a specific time of day. In other words, you could decide that every morning at 11 a.m., you'll allow yourself to fret and worry for 30 minutes. So let's say at 9 a.m., you begin to get upset by your thoughts. Well, table them. Put them out of your mind until your allocated time at 11. It takes a little practice to make this work, but it's a very effective technique. You may also wish to listen to a couple of past episodes with helpful topics such as how to be fearless through grief and how to cope with uncertainty and feeling out of control. So I'll post those as well. At the end of the day, if you feel paralyzed to even function in your life, you can't do your job, take care of your kids, you're having trouble paying your bills, you really need to pause and seek professional help. Find a coach like myself or a psychotherapist who offers cognitive behavioral therapy or EMDR or even EFT, emotional freedom technique. Reach out, remembering suffering is optional. You have choices. I hope you benefited from your time with me today. I'm sending you love and light, and I invite you to join me again next week for another episode of Talk About Healthy Living.